So are you ready to hear how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined who is a Muslim? Ready? He says, the Muslim, man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. The true Muslim is the one. Ready? Because now you're going to check, am I a Muslim or not? The Muslim is the one, has two attributes. The one whom the people feel safe from his tongue and his hand. I don't understand. The true Muslim is someone, let's say, for example, I choose Majd. May Allah grant you Jannah. See what I mean? So if he's a true Muslim, that means when I give him my back and I walk away, I feel safe he will not hurt me with his tongue, as in backbite, as in gossip about me, as in talking trash about me. Not just the tongue, also physically. He will not try to harm me in any way, shape, or form. So if the people feel that way towards you, then it's a sign you're a true Muslim. Now there's an upgrade to that. What's the upgrade? This is like not the main cabin, this is like the Delta Comfort Plus. All right, first class. What's the first class? The same hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do you know who is the mu'min? Oh, that's next level. Al-mu'min is a different level. Ready for it, the definition? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-mu'min man aminahu an-nas. The one whom the people feel safe trusting him with their money and their life. Have you reached that, inshallah? May Allah make you all reach that. Say ameen. You reach a point, someone can leave $10,000 in front of you to go use the washroom, come back, and they will not lose it. Someone is comfortable giving you the keys to his house when he's going to Hajj and trusting you with his money and his life. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make us all reach that level of iman. Why did I start with this introduction? Because this story is a lot more heavy in a way than the previous two. The first nation we spoke about was the nation of Ad. Who was their prophet? Who was the prophet of Ad? Hud. And then we spoke about the nation of Thamud. Who was their prophet? Salih. Ad had one punishment. It was a strong wind and severe calamity, right? Wind. The people of Thamud did more crimes. So they got not one punishment, they got two punishments, right? The earthquake, al-rajfa, and a very screeching, loud blast noise that made them lose everything and die from it. Today, or tonight, it's a group of people, they won't get one, they won't get two, they will actually get three. And that's not very common in the Quran. Why? What's so different about them? They are people who didn't just not believe in Allah, they went against the definitions we provided. And you will see that shortly, inshallah. Today's people are the people of Madian. Madian is a city that was named after the family's name. You guys with me? Some scholars say today's city of Madian is actually in southern Jordan, northern Saudi Arabia, known as Ma'an. Known as Ma'an. That's what some scholars have said. Now, Madian, that was the family name of the people we're about to talk about. And when were they living? What's their era? Anybody knows? Around which time? Are they after Nuh? Before obviously Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are they after Musa? What's your take? Who knows? Anybody can help me out? The people of Madian, when did they come? Take a shot at it. Huh, go ahead. After Salih alayhi salam, this man is a smart man. May Allah bless you. Fantastic. Anybody can get me a little bit closer? Go ahead. Before Musa alayhi salam, inshallah, na'am. That's a correct answer. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا قَوْمُ لُوطٍ مِّنْكُمْ بِبَعِيدٍ. The closest nation, they came right after Prophet Lut alayhi salam. So Prophet Lut alayhi salam, he was the closest to them. Pay attention. In terms of time, like right after, and in terms of location. In terms of time and in terms of location. Famously known, the people of Lut alayhi salam, where did they live? Near the Dead Sea, right? In Palestine. In the Arab, it's called Sadum. In English, I think it's called Sodom. S-O-D-O-M. But besides these, that we don't have a confirmation in the Quran, so we'll move past that. But they're close to Prophet Lut in time, and Prophet Lut in what? In location. Fantastic. What were some of their blessings? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares with us certain blessings. And the way, inshallah, we're going to go about this is as follows. We told you about the people of Madian a bit. I will tell you the blessings Allah gave them. Then what do you think I'll go to next? How they misused the blessings. Then they misused the blessings. Then Allah, from His mercy, will send them someone to teach them. Fair enough? You see the process? Yallah, what are some of their blessings? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they had so many resources. They were bikhayr. They had every mean that you can think of. They had the wealth. They had the health. There was no plagues and diseases, none of that stuff. They had so much power, Allah says, and they had so many people. The population was big, and they had a lot of children. Do you think that's a blessing? Children are a blessing? What do you guys think? I don't know if I shared this or not. Are children a blessing? The kids are saying yes. What about parents? All right. I was writing the notes, and then my daughter, she said, she saw something along the lines of, you know, how children are a blessing. She's like, Baba, we're not a blessing. She said, we are a waste. No, we are so annoying, and we are a waste of money. I'm like, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. All the money that we spend is khalas? La wallah. They're not annoying, inshallah, nor are they a waste of money. Why? Because the Prophet taught us something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best dollar you ever spend is on your family. The best penny that you ever spend, the best. Why? Because you're doing something of, quote unquote, like charity and act of worship, and they are your family, so you get double. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make us generous to our family. Say ameen. You know, not being generous is quite a tough situation. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman went to him and she asked him, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I got few men proposing to me, and she detailed the names of the men, and one of them was stingy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he's no good. Allahu Akbar. So you got to be careful, brothers. Ready? Be very generous, inshallah. So next time you go to a restaurant, don't always order water, because we do that just for the bills. I know, not healthy. You want lemonade so bad that it was $6.50. I feel you, right? You see, alhamdulillah. And the dessert is a whole other story. Let's move on, inshallah. So they had so much blessings and children. Now, unfortunately, the way people look at children sometimes actually can be different. And I'm not exaggerating if I tell you, I was shocked when I took a marketing class at the University of Windsor, not too far from you. And then the professor was talking about the issues in the world. Like, he just went all depressing way. And he's like so negative. It was so painful. The financial calamity, the inflation. Look at the situation. Look at even you know what, the pollution in the world. He mentioned all the problems. After he mentioned the problems, you know what the professor told us? I was in class. He says, what do you guys think the solution may be to this? What's the solution? What do you guys think the solution? Go to Mars. Fantastic. You have Elon Musk, revision 2. MashaAllah. Okay, fantastic. What's the solution to all the problems? Huh? Be optimistic. Ahsant. Fantastic. What is it? The solution are children. May Allah bless them. Say ameen. Children, do you agree? Go ahead. What's the solution, Ya Majd? To not have children. Allahu Akbar. Actually, Ya Majd, to be honest with you, that's exactly what the professor said. And he was dead serious. But he said it in a quite adult mode. Right? And he said, do not have children. Stop having kids. Enough. That's why they're causing inflation. That's why all these problems. And I thought it was a joke, but he kept going and going. Then he moved on to the next point, which was very disappointing. But in Quran, Allah gives you two verses. Ready? How many? Two verses. Look how beautiful. Allah says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, for you who have children right now and you're scared of the present situation, this ayah is for you. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. Allah says, do not kill your children for the fear of poverty. Don't let that financial situation get you so nervous that you're willing to ruin and destroy your child. May Allah protect us. And this killing of children, not just in the past where Allah puts it in the Quran, Allah says it, that they used to bury their own kids, right? Out of, you know, fear of poverty, I cannot afford having a kid. They would actually bury the kids. That's one of the reasons. But even today, some people can kill their own children, yes? And we're not talking about medical reasons and so on and so forth, but a reason that, inshallah, all of us can agree as Muslims, it is not appropriate to choose to kill a child in the womb of a mother for the fear of not having enough money, correct? Because this happens, and more common, And this is unacceptable in every way. Allah says, don't kill your child for the fear of lack of money. Fair enough? But what about the other ayah? Not about the fear of the present, but the fear of the future. Some people say, I don't know about the future. I cannot have any more. Things are becoming very expensive. Oh, you who is worried about the future, this ayah is for you. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ إِنَّ قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطْئًا كَبِيرًا. خلاص, you're expecting one soon. La, Allah says, we will provide for the child, then we will provide for you. It's a little bit detailed, so pay attention. Ready? The first ayah I said, Allah said, I'll provide for you, parents. Then He says, I'll provide for the children. Because that's present. The ones worried about the future, Allah says, I'll provide for your children, then provide for you. And if you ask almost anyone in this auditorium or theater, or you who was expecting a child or just had a child, you see how Allah opened the doors for you. Yes or no? Some nods, yes? Every single one of my kids, I have a story for you. First job that I ever got full time was when Maryam came. Allahu Akbar, right? Another child I had, I got something else. Another child I had, I got this. It's just unbelievable. And I'm not the only story. Every parent here has a story. So next time you get a promotion, a raise, when you're about to have a kid, please do not attribute it to your hard work. Another, in terms of having a child, that is the work. May Allah grant us all Jannah. Say Ameen. Fantastic. But why do you spend so much time on this? Because Allah highlights it in their story. Having kids is a blessing. Having a big family is a blessing. And remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an authentic narration, he used to dislike or he used to push against being single. And that's what Anas ibn Malik said in an authentic narration. He never used to like people just to remain single. And he says, tabattul, as in like for the reason of being devout worshippers. That's authentic narration. So people say, I don't want to really get married until I perform hajj. I don't want to really get married until I, like, you know, I go to Medina and Al-Aqsa and so on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't like that. That's what, an tabattul, nahyan shadeed. He was very strict on it. Don't do that, devout worshipping. What if he hears some of our people saying, I don't want to get married until I travel the world? If like going to Hajj and stuff like that, the Prophet didn't like that. I want to be the type of guy that prays all night. I don't want a spouse to ruin that momentum. The Prophet says, don't do that. Imagine like, let me just go until I, you know, go up further in the ladder in the company. Rasulullah was against that. Fair enough, halas? So I don't want no one to tell me, because it happens very frequently. I tell a brother who's a 23-year-old guy, so where's marriage in the picture? Where's the to-do list? He's like, no, I'm only 23. You're only what? You're only 23. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm only 23? What is it supposed to mean? All right? It should be on the to-do list. Dua, some serious dua. Ya Allah, grant me a righteous spouse, even younger than 23. Put it on the dua list until Allah make it possible. May Allah grant you all righteous spouse. Say I mean. You want some marriage advice? Last one? Because I'm seeing your eyes like undivided attention. This is pretty bad. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All right? May Allah grant you all Jannah. Say I mean. Fantastic. What's the last blessing? They had lessons learned from those before. I don't understand. They were educated about what happened to Prophet Lut. They knew what happened to Prophet Saleh's people. He knew what happened to Prophet Thamud's people. And they know what happened to Prophet Nuh's people. How is that a blessing? Tell me, how is that a blessing? Who thinks? Who can give me a suggestion? How is that a blessing? Go ahead. Fantastic, right? When you see someone making a mistake, it's just logical that you're in a way a step ahead to an extent, right? So they don't have one story, they have four that Allah mentions in the Quran. So when you see other people's mistakes, take this as a blessing, that you were not the mistake to learn from, you can learn from other people's mistakes. So may Allah make us intelligent, say ameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah was teaching him about them, Allah shows how they used all these blessings against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what makes them different is what? Is that their issue with the creator and the second issue with the creation. That one more time, this is very important because it's a highlight. Their problem, what makes them so bad is the problem they had with Allah and with the creation. That's why the punishment will be tripled. May Allah protect us, ya Rab. And the thing that they used to worship was a tree. Have you ever read in the Quran, Ashabul Aika? You heard that before? Ashabul Aika, the people of the tree, that's them. They were the ones that used to worship this tree and seek blessings from it. All the advancement. But they still had this inclination to idol worshiping. Some people today, may Allah guide you and me, say ameen. And if you're someone like that, you may have never known before, but maybe this opportunity is for you to know, inshallah. Ready? Some people, mashallah, accomplished people and so on, and you see on their social media, on their bio, such and such and such and such, such and such and such and such, then the blue eye. All right, don't jinx my bio, right? La. Or for example, they put a story of them playing with their children, then they go on the emojis section. I actually had to confirm this before the lecture. I actually went on the Instagram stories to add a gif. Well, mashallah, what is that? Huh? Then I put blue eye, and you get the blue eyes. It's a thing, even to non-Muslims, subhanAllah. It's not an Islamic thing, but many of the people relate to it. So the point being is that as educated as you may be, do not resort to these things. Only Allah can protect. Fair enough? Don't pull a LeBron James on us. What do you mean? May Allah guide him. Say I mean. But one time a reporter was talking like, you're so clutch, and you're the best, the GOAT. And he's like, whoa, knock on wood. Yeah, LeBron, you are worth over $1 billion. But still knock on wood. So may Allah educate us. Say I mean. And this comes to show you that everyone in this room, including myself, we have this inclination of spirituality. No matter how much we decline God. May Allah make us be spiritual in the right way. Say ameen. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah calls them lavalimin. Allah says those who worship other than Allah, those who prioritize people over Allah, they're oppressors. No, you're not oppressing Allah. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ Allah says you're oppressing no one but yourself. When you do not prioritize Allah in your life, you're causing yourself oppression. You're harming your own self. Allah's free from all of us. Allah doesn't need any of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. Say ameen. So we all, this is your haqq, your right. Your right is to go to paradise if you worship Allah. It's a right that you have. Do you guys know that? It's your right to go to Jannah. Not just that, everyone here has a house in Jannah. Wallahi, it's built. I swore by Allah. But the thing is that, will you go ahead, inshallah, and just turn that key? Well, maybe there's no keys because there's no issues, inshallallah. Go right to the Jannah. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He says, everyone in my ummah goes to Jannah, to paradise. Everyone goes to paradise except the ones that do not want to. So the Sahaba said, who doesn't want to? He says, whoever obeys me goes to Jannah, and whoever disobeys me chose not to go to Jannah. So may Allah make us of those who obey him. Say ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to the creation, there was a very big highlight of their crimes. And what was it? They were cheaters. They used to play games with the scale, with the balance. How can you relate to this to today's time? You know, for example, they have a weight that shows 5 pounds, but in reality, it is 7 pounds. That's when they sell. Like, oh, you got 7 pounds off for oranges. But actually, the thing is 5, but they changed the number on it. How can you relate this to today's time? People cheating in their business. How? Well, we're good these days. Halal fish. Halal fish? Oh, fantastic, right? Actually, that's pretty good. That's actually a really good one, right? The guy gets a beef, مش عارف من وين, forget beef, pork, right? Then he puts a halal stamp. Halal. What do you mean halal? What a halalha, right? Just put a sticker halal and don't even verify, don't even know what's going on. SubhanAllah, that's actually a very good example. How many people, they roll up, they change the odometer of a vehicle? Right? It's 100,000 miles. He's like, plays around with it, makes it 79,000 miles. So the price goes up, but you know, the value is not what's actually you're sharing with the people. فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these people are not fair. They're so unjust. May Allah protect us. Say ameen. And this happens, you know, in the automotive industry in 2015, there's a very famous German car manufacturer that was exposed and admitted that they played with the emissions of the car. Let me explain a little bit. So the car is a diesel type of vehicle, and it releases emissions that are horrible to the society, okay, to the environment. They installed something in the car that when someone tests the emission of the car, the software turns on and shows to the tester that it's a pure, clean diesel engine. This was in 2015, probably very famous, some of you know about Volkswagen. SubhanAllah. So eventually they got, the whole news knew about it and it went viral. A big company like that, and you know that's a lot of damage. You know how bad was the emissions? It was 150 times more than the regular car, SubhanAllah. So when people do these damages, don't say, oh, I'm just harming myself. They're harming society at large. This was a chaotic situation. Then you have another story, 2016, Wells Fargo. They revealed that 5,300 employees. You know how many human beings that is? 5,300 employees. What about them? They secretly opened phony bank accounts. Why? So they can achieve their goals. Like, oh, I was able to manage 7 credit cards and open this many accounts. All were fake. Subhanallah. So all that. Now, okay, well, how did this harm you? Well, their stocks go up because they're doing well. Then eventually they get exposed and all your retirement account drops. And it's a disaster for all of us. So you see how cheating goes very far? Many people are just, you know, short-sighted. Let us be very far-sighted with that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he dislikes and he is so angry when people cheat. One time he walked in the mall, like a, let's say a group of stores. So he went to a store that was selling grain. Focus with me, may Allah bless you. So when he saw the grains, it was a custom that people actually grab the grains or the hubub and so on, and they actually the seeds and they test the quality of it. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam placed his hand into that bucket and he took his hand out, the tip of his finger was wet. The tip of his finger was what? Wet. What does that mean? Something. This is not supposed to be wet, because if it's wet, it will ruin and rotten the seeds. It would rotten these items. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I want you to all learn inshallah from that, and I learned from it. Ready? He didn't say, why is there water? Like, no, this is, no. He says, "Ma hadha ya sahib al-ta'am? Can you have an explanation for this? Why is it when I put my hand, there's water at the bottom of this?" So he wants to verify. So this man got nervous. Why is there water in this bucket? Okay, I'll admit. Ya Rasulullah, it was raining, and the rain hit the top of the seeds. And then for me to hide, because if it got wet, it got rotten, people will not buy it. I don't want to lose my money. So I emptied, look at the top. I emptied it into another bucket. So what was wet on the top became in the bottom. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says a line, which perhaps many of you heard before. This is the hadith where it came from. Ready? He was so angry. And he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَفَلَا جَعَلْتَهُ فَوْقَ الطَّعَامِ كَيْ يَرَاهُ النَّاسِ. You should have kept it in a way that it's wet, so people can buy. Then he says, مَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Whoever cheats us is not one of my people. You are not one of my ummah if you cheat people in business, transactions. And don't put a value to it, please. Don't say, oh, just $2. No, no, no. Oh, he's rich. Who cares? What's $100 to him? That's not your business or my business. Cheating is cheating, even if it's a penny. Are you guys with me? Whether intentional or unintentional. Did it ever happen that you guys, for example, borrowed something from someone and you forgot to give it back? Then you went back home, you're like, oh my God, I have their watch, I have their pen, I have this. Who cares? They can afford it, whatever, I can benefit from it. No, don't do that. As much as you possibly can. Why? Because you never know what will happen to Yawm al-Qiyamah and Dunya. I remember one time we went to Chicago and we had lunch. And I realize some of you may think this is a little bit extreme, but inshallah it's not at all, trust me. We were given the bill and to pay for it. And Jazallah Khair, one brother invited me, and he paid for the bill. Accidentally, he kept the pen. Then we left the restaurant, we started driving around, and he's like, oh, the pen. So I said, you know what? We either have to go back to the restaurant and return the pen. Worst case scenario, at minimum, we call them up to tell them we have your pen. How would you like us to deliver it? Not ask, do you want it? See, they're very different. So then I call up the restaurant. I said, you know what, my apologies. We kept the pen that we signed the bill with. How would you like us to send it? It's okay if we get another 30 minutes because we're in a different store. Don't make it seem like it's an option that if they say yes, bring it, they seem evil. You go ahead and I'm going to give it to you, but would you mind if I wait 30 minutes because I want to finish my thing? They said, oh, just a pen. Don't worry about it. That's it. Thank you, thank you. Right? So if we try our best to practice as much as possible, wallahi, we'll be in a much better place. You agree? Taman, I have stories where I failed, which I'll not share with you, of course, right? Even if it's a finale, it doesn't matter, right? May Allah grant us all Jannah. Say ameen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that you should not cheat the people, otherwise you're not one of us. Now what did they also do? They were robbers. Now this is three categories. Allah says in the Quran that they used to sit in every path. Let me explain that. What does it mean? Any possible way the people of Midian can take your money, they will take. taxes, customs. Oh, taxes are haram? Don't get us in trouble. Right? I know there's a lawsuit. I was reading there's a lawsuit against taxes, but whoever sued the government obviously lost. Right? Anyway, let's move on. But with the taxes that is being referred to here, it's called maksin. Rasulullah ﷺ says, whoever takes the money of the people, taxing them, taking customs from them without justification, as in not to really improve the roads or something of a need, they will not enter Jannah. These people were like that. I remember I went to a country, and it was such a weird scenario. I hope I can show it to you as the way I saw it. So the guy was driving me. I was recording a series of videos for a TV channel. And while he was driving, there's some random guy with an orange cone. You know the orange cone for parking spots? So while he has this orange cone, he was walking. And then the guy who's driving me rolled down the window and told him, you know what, I'd like to park here. So I asked the guy, is he like the owner of this spot? Because this looks like a public area, like a public parking. You know, like some of them said $6.50 an hour. No, this is completely open. He's like, these people, man, they're crazy. They actually will not allow you to park unless you pay them. I'm like, who are these people? Some random people. Just have an orange cone. Imagine you go to Kroger with a guy with an orange cone. You can't park here. Who are you? Don't worry about it. Who am I? It was $5.50. This is the theft that they used to do, but at a higher scale. May Allah protect us. Ya Rabbal Alameen. وَلَا تَقْعُدُ بِكُلِّ صَلَاةٍ تُوْعِدُونَ And what else did they used to do? Truth blockers. Anyone that tries to fix the wrong that they did, they would shut him down. You try to like, hey, I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. Okay. Shush. Let us do our business, okay? Mind your own. You want 10%? We'll give you 10%, but don't get involved. May Allah protect us. So you have to be very, very sure that you don't fall into that even in this country. If you are not able to stop the evil, which is very likely many of us cannot, don't be involved in the evil. Fair enough? I'll share this with you, bismillah. Finale, I was like to myself, finale, akhir wahda. Okay, I'm not sure if I shared this with you before, but one of my previous jobs, I was working on a certain component in a vehicle. And that component, there was a supplier from out of America that used to supply that company with that part. Now that part, anytime they sent it to me, for me to test it, that it works, I had to do validation and all that quality report, etc. Every time I test it on a vehicle, it doesn't work really well. It malfunctioned. So then I emailed them, I said, you know what, the part is not working very well, so please you guys, you know, fix it. So I give them another chance. They go, they do their thing, they send me 3 samples, like 5 weeks later, whatever. I get the samples, I put it in the car, and is it working? It's not really working. So I tell them, guys, it's not working. This is a lot of waste of time. This is something, it's something that used to work, or whatever the case is. Basically, we change suppliers. Anyhow, let's move on. Eventually, they send me a third sample. I'm like, bismillah, I tried it, put it in the car, turned on the switch, it's not working. So I said, no, it's not working. I have to eventually put a report together. Maybe we have to move on, whatever the case is. So they come and fly, 3 people, 2 guys and a girl. They come all the way to America. I used to live in Canada at that time. And when they came to America and they came right to my office, or my desk, office sounds a bit fancy. It was a desk, okay, it was a cubicle, khalas. All right. So they came and the 2 guys were speaking like, you know what, thank you so much for your patience, whatever, you know, we're gonna fix it, we promise, give us another chance. Don't report it, don't escalate the problem, just give us a chance. So I said, you know what, because I actually, at one point, I was going beyond my working hours to go fix the problem. 2 guys, they leave. Who stayed? The girl, dressed up and everything. So she had a bag, and she put the bag in front of me on the desk, and she walked away. And as she's walking away, she says, this is a token, I remember, a token of appreciation. Token of appreciation. Oh, thank you. It's not a token. It's tokens. Right? It was something very valuable, very expensive, very expensive. So I said, I don't think I can accept that. Then she said, no, you worked really hard. You deserve it. Now, who came to me? Shaitan. Yes, yeah. They're kuffar anyways, right? La, don't do that, right? So I'm like thinking, I'm like, I did work hard, wallahi, but it's like this. I'm like, I looked at it a couple of times, like, this is nice. So then I said, I know I can't take it because the company policy is that you're not allowed to take more than a $20 gift. And this is definitely more than $20, maybe another 2 digits next to it. They said, no. I said, you know what, just for my comfort's sake, let me call the manager. Look how naive this miskin is, I know. He's like, no, don't call the manager. Don't call the manager, just keep it between us, just that's it. Don't make it life complicated. I said, okay, you know what, let me just think about it. She said, okay, think about it, I'm leaving. She put me in under pressure, like, to accept it. So then when she left, I called a friend of mine. And then he was actually a co-worker. So I called him up, like, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed, kif halak? He said, I'm good. I'm like, listen, this is a situation. I told him the story that I just shared with you. So I said, should I take it or not? He's like, what do you mean? Should I accept the token of appreciation or not? He's like, brother Majid, you give us Friday khutbas. Tell me what you learned from my Friday khutbas. Tell me, what did you learn? He's like, of course not. He's like, Majid, this could have been a plot against you. Huh? Yeah, go run after the lady and give her the bag. I'm like, okay, Zakal Khair Ahmed. I hang up and I took the bag and start running. And they're like, you know what, take it. I don't want it. So eventually, I mean, like, you should have been stronger. I told you, I have good stories, bad stories, right? So what's so evil is that when she left, about 6:30 p.m., I went back to Canada. I used to live there. I got a phone call from her. She said, where are you, Mr. Mahmoud? I'm like, well, I'm home, right? She's like, I would like to see you. I'm like, why? I want to give you a token of appreciation. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I just made a whole scene and the company, everything. She's like, yeah, look at this. She said, yeah, but now it's after hours and you're in Canada. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us, right? At this point, I escalated the life out of this problem. So much so that it went too high up in the company that we used to get from them at least 8 figures of supply of products. So the company, may Allah guide them all. See, I mean, look, subhanAllah, some people have the amana. They sent, this is what we'll do. We will stop getting any parts from that company. Not just that switch, everything else. So I told them, okay, but under one condition. Don't mention my name. I actually was scared, subhanAllah, right? Because there's a sense of the cheating, the bribery that takes place. So these people lived on it. And if you try to stop them, they will cut you off. Literally, and maybe verbally, may Allah grant us Jannah. Say ameen. Last but not least, this is a bit nasty. تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. And I'll mention this, then we can take a break. Though this was a quite short session. تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. They used to paint the people that are righteous as unrighteous. They say to the liars, they're truthful, vote for him. And the truthful as liars. وَتَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. They tried to plot and make people fall into traps to ruin the image of righteous people. So may Allah protect you all. Say ameen. Because when a person of a high figure falls, many of their followers, they fall along with that person. There's a very famous Christian preacher, I think his name is Jimmy Swagger, right? Whatever his name is. You don't have to look him up. A man who so many people in the entire country and continents used to look up to him. And eventually he was exposed with a huge scandal that was very much authenticized, not fabricated on him. And many of the people that used to follow him, unfortunately, they did the exact same sin afterwards. So they tried to ruin that and plot for people. I'm not saying that they plotted for him, but the concept of being strong, may Allah bless you and grant you Jannah. Say ameen. All right, bismillah. Now, with all the corruption that they caused, it's absolute fasad in every level in the society, within the family, within the neighborhood, within the community. The people that are not doing much, they are still, actually there's no one not doing well financially in general. All of these people are spreading so much corruption and hurting other people that are trying to genuinely compete. And one of the best people that was honest in the midst of all that corruption was none other than, what's his wonderful name? Shu'aib. Shu'aib was amongst these people, and he was known for his respect. He was known for his fairness. He was known for his justice. He was known to be a very well-spoken man, by the way. He's a very famously known as Khatib al-Anbiya, the well-spoken, most eloquent of speakers amongst all prophets. طبعاً والله تعالى أعلم, not beyond Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, what happened in this case? By the way, would Allah not just punish them, khalas? Like, why did Allah send the Prophet? Would Allah not just punish them and just destroy them? Give him a chance, right? And what's that chance? Someone, who said give him a chance? Okay, so you're right, give him a chance. Ahsan, you're all right, but give him, like, what's the chance looks like? A prophet, right? What is it? Repent, give him time. Now, I want you to memorize this part, ready? Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. This is a rule of thumb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I would never punish a group of people until I send them a messenger. Fair enough? I would never punish someone until they become informed. So these people would not be punished just yet, for they have not been completely and clearly informed. Though some of the stuff may be obvious, but this is the rule that Allah goes by. He will not punish someone until they are clearly informed and the person clearly comprehends the information. So if you say, pay attention, if you say, well, I told this brother about this is haram and everything like that, and he kept doing it, and he still worships this, he's going to hellfire. Relax. Because you may be so clear, but it doesn't mean that he completely understood. You guys with me? And it's so dangerous to tell people this person is a kafir. Allah will not tell you why did you not tell him he's a kafir, but Allah may question you, why did you say he's a kafir? Why? Because one of the scariest hadith about this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the way, these people are kuffar, don't get me wrong, they are kuffar. But the issue is that when our brothers and sisters together, someone makes a mistake, gets a quarter, goes to Somerset Mall, there's a water, right? Like a pond, right? They throw the quarter, he's like, ya Allah, get me married. Right? Like, this is shirk. You should ask Allah, you're throwing the quarter. You know what? I'll never pray next to you. Kafir, yeah, relax. Yeah, you have relaxed. You call him kafir because you throw a quarter. Make him understand. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من كفر أخيه, whoever tells their brother kafir, then one of them has to be a kafir. La, I'm confused. La, don't be confused, inshallah. If someone tells another person, you are a kafir, one of them has to be a kafir. What are you trying to tell us? If you were wrong at the label, it goes against you, then you become the kafir. So be very careful when you go tell some parents that are trying their best and they might do something that is completely wrong. They put that blue eye that we referenced earlier on. Don't go into titles and label them just like that. May Allah protect us. We know for a fact, kuffar go to hell, mu'mineen go to Jannah. But don't go and mention by name just for you to be safe while keeping in mind there are differences of opinion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, a wonderful man. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. Now, I collected the set of advice. I'd like to say the word advices, but it's not possible to pluralize the word advice. So a set of advice. And the first thing he will do, he'll address the problems they have with the Creator. Remember what I told you earlier? The thing about Midian, unlike other nations that we spoke about, their issue was with the Creator and with the creation. So what will he prioritize? Their issue with their Creator. Because if you can fix your relationship with Allah, you can fix every relationship. So all you has problems with your spouse, with your kids, with your workplace, everything around the world, I promise you that if you're able to fix your relationship with Allah, inshallah, everything will be fixed by the will of Allah. Fair enough? So he's a smart man. He's very intelligent. Let's talk about the rights of Allah over you. He says, يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. My people, my brothers, my sisters, look at the adab, the respect. You see? He says, worship Allah. You have no other deity worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his mentioning in another surah is unlike other prophets. You know what he says? In another ayah, he says, يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ. You have no other Lord besides Allah. Then he says, وَرْجُوا الْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. I want you guys to think of the day of judgment. There's hisab. You'll be held accountable. You don't just live this life and just move on like that. No, you'll be held accountable. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, some people say, well, this person is so nice. I can't imagine they're going to hellfire, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the first thing Allah will hold you accountable for. The first thing is what? Is what? Salah. If your salah was done right, the Prophet says everything will be fine, inshallah. But if Allah were to hold you accountable for your salah, and you're not doing well at all in it, then everything else is meaningless. May Allah make it easy for us. So yes, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when it comes to the salah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what does he say next? He's going to address the creation. What is he going to tell them? فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. You guys need to really fix your tools up. The balance, the scale, playing up with the odometer, all these things, you have to be very careful. فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. Do not charge people over the price tag of the real value of the item. Let me give an example. Isn't it not possible for some doctors, with all respect to our physicians, may Allah grant you all Jannah the way you help us, but are there not some physicians that may prescribe medication where the patient does not need? Is it possible that they may exaggerate? Let's go a little bit deeper. Look, who does that? Some people do that. We have some in Michigan, very famous ones, right? What's his name, Dr. Farid? Right, he got sentenced for 45 years here in Michigan. Why? This loser, may Allah guide him. May Allah see whatever is best with him. He used to prescribe chemotherapy and tell people they have cancer when they never did. Like, how obsessed do you have to be and corrupted to tell a family, unfortunately, your parent, your son, your daughter has cancer? You see how bad corruption is? And this happened in Michigan, and now he's sentenced for 45 years. So these people, they go above and beyond. Not just that, he tells them, وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. And now when you, in a way, you're the seller, okay, do not, what is it called, lowball them in a way that is unjust. How many times it happens, may Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen, you want to go buy an item. The item in the store is $95. What do some people say? Wallah, brother, I saw this online for 85. You never saw it online for 85. He's like, I sell it for 95. So if it's 85, go online and buy it. He's like, no, I'll show you. Okay, show me. If you show me that it's actually 85, I'll match the price. You get your phone, and you're like, oh my God, I don't have it. Then you're like, you got Wi-Fi? Oh, my phone died. Oof. He's like, okay, whatever, I'll give you 85. That $10 that you saved, you think there's barakah in that? There's no barakah in that. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. Do not defraud people of their property. Ever went to a restaurant, and then the waiter comes like, hello guys, what's the occasion for coming to Applebee's? Nothing is halal or haram, relax. Right? They should pay me for this. Okay. So like, oh, occasion. I heard Applebee's gives on people's birthdays free appetizer and desserts. It's true, by the way. Now watch what happens tomorrow. Right? All bearded and hijabis walk in, right? Right, January 1st for some reason. Right now, let's move on. You guys know what I'm talking about. Right, January 1st. May Allah grant Jannah to our parents, say I mean, and grandparents. All right? So then you walk in, oh, occasion, yes, well, it's my son's birthday. My birthday, yeah, he just turned 16. Stop, quiet. Yeah, he just turned 16. Oh, my goodness, all right, do you have the ID with you? Oh, no, my printer, subhanAllah, what's subhanAllah, right? All right, and then they give you like a 10% discount or free dessert. Really? I'm giving you a smaller scale, but there's even larger scale of companies and corporations. Do not fake your resume. A proficient at PowerPoint. You don't even know how to open it. You have a MacBook, Habibi. There's no PowerPoint unless you install it. But don't fall for these things. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling these people, Inni arakum bi khair. What does that mean? Shu'aib tells his people, you guys do not need to do this. You don't need an extra $100. You don't need to scam someone over $1,500. You don't need to do that. Inni arakum bi khair. You guys are doing very, very well, guys. You're doing just fine to get yourself a halal job. So don't stay, oh, I have this excuse. So he's cutting the excuses for them. You see what I'm saying? He cut the excuses for them. Inni arakum bi khair. So if I want to expand on this meaning, but don't take it personal, we're family, khalas, huh? We've been doing this for years, mashallah, tabarakallah. So inni arakum bi khair, I do see you in prosperity now, also means you have the capacity to change jobs. You have the capacity. Don't say, I've been here for 10 years, I know I have this house that I'm paying off. If I stop this, you know, corruption that I'm doing, I won't be able to continue my payments. I have a kid in school. Inni arakum bi khair. You have the capacity to leave. So we as Muslims have to leave the mindset of poverty if we can. Inni arakum bi khair. No, you guys are doing very fine. You can do this. Get out of that mindset. As Muslims, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah, I beg you, Ya Allah, don't ever make me poor. Ya Allah, I beg you not to make me very dependent on people. Now, all of us here will have to depend on people. But we're trying to tell you, minimize that dependence. Fair enough? Minimize the dependence. May Allah grant us all Jannah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. The other thing he told them, so that's number one. He says, you guys don't have to do that. Why? Number one, Inni arakum bi khair. What's number two? وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. And I'm terrified. I love you guys. I love you so much. I know what you guys are doing and everything. I'm so terrified for you from a very severe punishment that may come to you. Because whatever goes around comes around. Don't think you will get away with this. Your actions will have a way to come back at you and haunt you down. If not tomorrow, maybe in a year. If not in a year, in 10 years. If not in 10 years, it will come before you pass away. May Allah protect us. Ya Rabbil Alameen. إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ مُحِيطٍ. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look how the wording he says. He says, do you know who's the bankrupt? It's all business and things of that sort. So they said, ya Rasulullah, the bankrupt, al-muflis, the one who has no money and no assets. That's a bankrupt, nothing. He says, let me tell you the bankrupt. Remember what I said early in the session? Collect the definitions of the Prophet. Allah, it's a great one. May Allah make it possible for us to understand it. Say, I mean, and I pray to Allah, ya Rabbi, Allah, help me put it together. Ya Rabbi, ya Rabbi. He says, let me define what's a bankrupt. He says, the bankrupt is the one who comes on the Day of Judgment with a lot of prayers, a lot of fasting, a lot of charity. This is a good brother. Yeah, he looks great to the sight of the people. But however, that person, that man or that woman, they come on the Day of Judgment, وَقَدْ قَذَفَ هَذَا وَقَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَقَدْ قَتَلَ هَذَا وَقَدْ أَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. However, that person, that same person who was praying, right, the mu'amala that you mentioned, right? This man was praying, was fasting, was giving in charity, but he used to rob people. He used to cheat people. He used to be like that guy, true story, who used to fix garage doors. And I have my close friend of mine worked for him in that company. And then he said to me, he said, I had to quit. I'm like, why did you quit so fast? He said, the owner of that garage door company, he went and he actually broke something in the garage. I thought these stories are not maybe as common. I never really witnessed it personally. I never heard it from someone that I know. He's like, I saw him and he broke it. I said, why would you do that? Why would you break this part in the garage? He's like, just be quiet. I'm not going to make this trip to this house for over $10. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He went and broke the garage to buy a whole system. Then you have to leave. So with being that person, wallahi, bisalli, first row in the masjid, you think that will help him out? You're like, well, you told us. Whoa, I got you, bro. This is being recorded. What do you mean? You told us if someone prays well, then everything else will be fine. Oh, you're focused. But if they pray well, because a good prayer stops you from cheating. I had a 15-year-old boy come to me, or man, and he says, brother, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. He's like, Allah says in the Quran is that when you pray, you stop doing foul language or saying it, and stop doing evil actions. Okay? He's like, I've been praying for 15 years. You're 15, but I moved on. I didn't address that. So he's like, I've been praying for 15 years. Okay, I still curse, I still do this, I don't see any improvement. So there is one of two issues, one of two or maybe two, ready? So this is the equation. If you really want salah to help you become a better person, there's two things you have to do. A little bit of math, is it okay if we do math at 8 to 35 p.m.? It's okay. X plus Y equals Z. X is the external actions of salah. So for example, you know Isha is 4 rak'at. You say, Allahu Akbar. You say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Al-Fatiha. You do sujood, the ruku'. No, that's not ruku'. This is something else. This is stretching or something. This is ruku', right? Maybe this is what you're lacking. But there's another component, because some of us, we master this. We take classes on this, which is important. But this is not the outer actions as much as the inner actions. So the X is the outer actions plus the Y, the inner action, which is focus, khushu'. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Believers are successful, the ones who are focused in their prayers, right? The ones who pray sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ones that understand what they're saying. So that's the internal. If you have the external plus the internal, you get the fruit, which is what? Allah will help you become a better person. You see that? So when someone, when Allah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the bankrupt, the one who comes with salah and so on, their salah was not properly made to help them stop breaking that garage. I'm not saying he's going to hell, guys, relax, right? Alhamdulillah didn't say the store's name, right? But here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that man or that woman who cheated the people, guess what happens yawm al-qiyamah? They have a lot of good deeds, a lot of hasanat, like loads, right? Now what happens? The person they cheated will come on the Day of Judgment. Ya Allah, this person, he lied to me. How do they know, by the way? How can they know that that person lied to them? How? Go ahead. They see in their book, right? Right? Let me see in your book. Oh, you're the one who stole the jewelry from my place? What a loser. And he came, oh, it's not me. We should call the cops. It was him the whole time. Yeah, are you a loser? Right? So what happens? They will go to that person like, Ya Allah, this person cheated me. This person ruined my life. Ya Allah. So what happens? This man who has all the salah and the sadaqah and the siyam, what did he do? Okay, relax. How much? 100 hasanat? Here, 100 hasanat. Then 10 people, they come. What do you mean 10 people? Then 100 people, they come. I cheated this. How can I cheat 100 people all at once? Well, your business was open for 10 years and you lied to everybody about the quality of the cement that you do for your concrete for the driveway. You said it's 4 inches, you did 3.8 inches. For every 0.2, atini hasanat. Was that worth it? You see what just happened? So that person gives all the good deeds until someone else comes. It's like, Ya Allah, this person cheated me. This person betrayed me. This person backbit me, Ya Allah. So this person, I got no hasanat. What do you want? He said, well, okay. You don't have hasanat to give me. I will give you my sayyat. And he gives sayyat and sayyat. So the guy who came with so much good deeds, the balance now is fixed. A lot of bad deeds, فَيُقْضَفَ فِي النَّارِ, then pushed into hellfire. Now the question that comes, you just said books, right? Why did Allah not resurrect the person with the whole calculations completed? Does the question make sense a bit? Like, why did I have to do the transaction? خُد حَسَنَات, give me سَيِّئَات. Like, huh, so you come, and the book says you're going to hell, you did this, or you had 100,000 حَسَنَات, you lost them all. Like, oh man, why did he have to experience that? What do you think?
The real judgment is on the day of judgment.
Fantastic, the real judgment is on the day of judgment. Fantastic, that's a good point. One of them is when that person sees their good deeds leaving, accumulating bad deeds in Yawm al-Qiyamah, it's so painful, right? The regret is insane. Just to give you a taste of the pain you caused others that you cheated on. وَلَا تَقْعُدُوا بِكُلِّ صِرَاطٍ تُوْعِدُونَ. Remember the three things? You guys need to stop taxing people. You charge taxes on the most nonsense ever. Like, you're not even fixing the roads, you're not even doing anything, it's not even an urgency for you to collect money from people, so quit that. Number two, وَتَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Stop telling people that advise you, stop correcting me. No, be open to constructive criticism. وَتَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا, and you're striving to make it appear crooked. Like the right people have lost their mind. No, the right people, inshallah, have not lost their mind. May Allah give us the wisdom to deal with our businesses, with our families, with our kids, the way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say ameen. So he's going to tell them two things to help him out. So anyone who's struggling with anything, including myself, I'm going to remember this if I ever going to attempt to do a sin. Ready? وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ كُنْتُمْ قَلِيلًا فَكَثَرَكُمْ. Remember when you were few, then he increased you in number. Remember when I spoke about children and the blessings of that? As I told, this is a main theme of this session. He says, remember where you came from. Because when you remember your humble beginnings, you will naturally become humble. And then when you realize that you're scamming someone who was at your situation, that young man who just finished college, want to buy his first ever car, he only has like $5,000 or $10,000, and you play with that vehicle, or you do something with the switch and so on, just to make it seem that everything is fine, and then you go ahead with that. No, remember, you were that student one day. One day you were the one struggling, and look at you now, you know, not going less than this type of amount. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. Then he says, وَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. So number one, remember where you came from. Anytime you're about to commit a sin, may Allah make it easy for all of us to quit it. Say ameen. Please, take it from tonight. Two things to do. Number one, remember how you have been blessed. There's nothing that we use to disobey Allah with, except that you had to use a blessing He gave you. Anything wrong we do in our lives required Allah's blessings against Him. The eye He gave us in what we're watching. The ears He gave us in what we're listening. The hands He gave us in what we're touching. The legs He gave us and where we're walking, and where we're not walking, we're supposed to be walking. Remember where you came from. You were nothing. And remember now you can see and watch and clearly understand what's being said. And number two, remember the punishment. Remember, if I go ahead with this, what will happen to me? And this is why he told them, وَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. You guys know exactly what happened to Prophet Lut's people. You know exactly what happened to Prophet Salih, Prophet Hud, and Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. You know who was one of the best people to ever apply this? Who is it? Guess. Who is one of the best people to apply this lesson? Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf, yes. Without going into a lot of depth, Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah says in the Quran, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. There was a lady that was seducing him. And she had all the qualities to possibly seduce many men and attract them. So she's trying to push him. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. And she locked all the doors and turned off all the cameras, and nothing can be heard, nothing can be seen. There's no sama' and there's no basar except her and him. That's it. You know what did Yusuf alayhi salam do? He actually said the following. Very similar to what you just heard right now. He says, ma'ad Allah. Number one, I seek Allah's refuge. This comes to show you, Yusuf alayhi salam knows, no matter how good I think I am, I'm nothing without Allah. I need Allah's help. Number two, he says, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. Allah blessed me. What did he do here? He remembered where he came from. He was in the well. He was about to die, right? He was a slave. No one really, you know, gave much attention to slaves. But then my master, the one who purchased him, because Rabbi here can mean two things, either Rabbi as in my Lord, or Rabbi as in the master who bought me for when I got off the well. So he remembered that I was in a bad situation. So remember where you came from. It helps you a lot. Remember that you never had that laptop or that phone, and now you can afford it. And that's what you do with Allah, money that He gave you. May Allah make it easy for us. What's the last thing Yusuf thought of? Say one English word. The punishment. Then he says at the end, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. He says, oppressors will never be successful, because he knows if I fall for this sin, if I say yes to this girl, I'm an ظالم, and I'm an oppressor who used Allah's blessings of my good looks or speech or as Yusuf alayhi salam. And this is dhulm and oppression. So remember these three things. What did he do after that? Run for his life. So what helped him run from the sin is that methodology. May Allah make us all remember them. Say ameen. Think of the blessing and think of the punishment. Eventually, as we move forward, he says something very profound. And that's why I kept it just for one slide here. Fixed it for you, inshallah. What is it? By the way, may Allah bless those who helped with the presentation. Say ameen. There's wonderful. Actually, they're sitting here. May Allah grant them Jannah. Shu'aib tells him, بَقِيَّةُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. What is left as a lawful gain by Allah is far better for you if you are truly believers. Now this sentence, you may possibly never come across it in any university in the world. This is the university of La ilaha illallah. This is the university of the Quran. Because I took an accounting class as an elective in my master's program. I took marketing class. They never tell you that if you make less, you can do more. They can never tell you, oh, not, they can. They never tell you, like, oh, that's $100, you can do more with it than 1,000. No, but in Islam, we believe the 100 can do more than 1,000, literally speaking. It is very possible. That's where the barakah comes in. I had my daughter, subhanAllah, just a few days ago. She said, Baba, I went and fear that person who she bought the cheesecake for. Don't take it personal, okay? She's not upset. So she said, Baba, I bought someone a cheesecake. Will Allah send someone to buy me a cheesecake? Guys, please buy her a cheesecake. All right, let's move on. May Allah bless you all. Say ameen. So I told her, listen, Amina, I promise you, inshallah, Allah will give you back the value of the cheesecake and much more. But it may not be in a cheesecake form. It can be in the form that you're about to slip in the playground and break your ankle and not be playing for the next 2 weeks, but Allah saved you because of the cheesecake that you gave. It can be an exam that you had and you were struggling to answer the question, and your cheesecake was being able to answer the question in the exam and make your parents happy and you yourself be happy for the accomplishment. So the cheesecake can be in different forms. It can be something that you make a deal with someone as adults. You did some barakah in your life. You're like, you know what? You're willing to be honest in a transaction. So you're like, how will Allah give this back to me? It can be when you want to go buy a car and you get a great deal. That great deal, you know why? You got it for $2,000 less. You know why? Because you were honest in $200 that you've done. So Allah saves you from purchasing it elsewhere. So it's not just you literally getting the money back. It's much more than that. Fair enough? So he says, بَقِيَّةُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says a hadith which really tests our faith. It's a very heavy duty hadith. He says, البيعان, the one who buys and the one who sells. If they were very transparent and honest in the transaction, بُرِكَ لَهُمَ فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. Allah will put barakah in the transaction. Allah will bless it. Just say, you know what, I'm gonna be honest with you, the AC sometimes works, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes the check engine light goes off and sometimes it goes not. What do some people do when there's a check engine light, they wanna sell the car, unplug it from the battery, then plug it back again, because the check engine light goes away. And it happens till this day, and there's an issue that, subhanAllah, I just came across recently. So you become clear. But brother, if I was honest that there's a transmission issue, I will make $3,000 less. I'll make $7,000 instead of $10,000. Wallahi, that $7,000 will go a lot further than the $10,000. I remember there's an accountant I spoke to. I told the accountant, tell me something very interesting you came across in your accounting business. He said, I have a case. There's one guy has a store, and that store alone makes $300,000 a year. And every time we do the accounting of that man, there's always in the minus. But we don't know how. Like, he's making crazy amount of money, but always not doing well. He's struggling financially. $300,000 from one store. So he said, you know what? I kept telling him, you're dealing with alcohol. You're dealing with lottery. There's no barakah. There's no barakah. And he says, the moment he stopped, and the numbers he made was a lot less. It was not $300,000 anymore. It was like $70,000. But he did a lot better financially than $300,000. Allahu Akbar. Just let go of that. That's what we learn from you. Baqiyatullahi khairun lakum in kuntum mu'minin. May Allah grant us Jannah. Say ameen. Then he says after that, come on, this is long, but I'll read for you. When they heard all this advice, all what I told you was who speaking? Shu'aib. All this was Shu'aib. Don't do this, stop this, stop. I collected it for you. So hear the response. Look what they say sarcastically. They tell him, أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ. He says, does your salah tell you, does your salah encourage you to get involved in day-to-day activities? What are they trying to tell him? Take religion out of our lives. Don't put religion in everything. Let me do my wedding the way I want to do my wedding. Don't say, oh, haram, she cannot dance in front of him. Religion on the musalla, the prayer mat, fi baytkum, in your house, in the masjid, and you cut it there. You log off after that, sign out. Don't get, does your salah tell you that? One of the scholars, he commented when he read the verse, he says, "E wallahi tanhana wa ta'muruna." He's like, yes, wallahi, our Islam involves us in everything in life. And we need to have that confidence. And there's one of the most amazing ahadith. One of the most amazing ahadith. A man comes to one of the sahaba, a kafir. He is sarcastic, just like this man. Sarcastically says, so your prophet, your religion tells you everything? Like everything, like what to do this and what to do that. He said, hatta fil khara'ati, even when you want to wipe yourself in the bathroom? That's what he told him, that he told the Muslim. Even how to clean up yourself from number one and two? And he was kind of explicit. What did the man say? Come on, don't be like that, man. You know what he said? Yes. And he told us when we clean ourselves, we use the left hand and not the right hand. And we want to urinate or defecate, we try to avoid facing the qibla. And we try to wipe three times and not less. Look at the confidence and the barakah. Yes, Islam in everything in my life, how I eat and how I drink, how I wake up and how I sleep, and everything, how to walk to the washroom and how to leave the washroom, and everything, how to fulfill a desire and how to be able to bury someone and how to buy and how to sell, Islam in my life, A to Z. May Allah make us like that. Say ameen. So here he says, your prayer tells you not to have us worship Allah and how to deal with our money. Then what do they say here? إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ الْحَلِيمُ الرَّشِيدُ. Indeed, you're such a tolerant, sensible man. Do they actually mean it? They're being sarcastic. Why? Why are they being like that? Why? Because you know, Shu'aib, alayhi salam, that we are living our lives on this rhythm, on this methodology for decades. You want us to drop everything and start a new page? Are you out of your mind? Do you know what you're talking about? You know what will happen to us? Now look what he says, Shu'aib. أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَىٰ بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي. I want to ask you a question and you guys be honest with me. That's what Shu'aib is telling the people. He says, now that I know the truth, okay, I know the truth, and Allah gave me prophethood, does it make sense if you know what's right for you to no longer do it? Because he said you'd have no common sense. No, I have all the common sense because Allah gave it to me. Would it make sense to act now weird and so on? Then he says, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ. I'm not telling you, this is very powerful, I am not telling you not to do things just for the sake of being argumentative. Because some people are like that, by the way. إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. My ultimate goal is trying to reform, is trying to make this community a better place. Then he says, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My success is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. I trust Allah with the results. I'm going to put all the means that I can, and I return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is everyone in this theater, that's your goal right here. إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. That's your job and my job. Your job is not just to be a good person, because being a good person, just literally like that, will not save you. What saves you is you being a good person and spreading the goodness to others. Because we're all this on the same earth. We're not in different planets. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the example of a ship. Has two floors. The lower floor and the upper floor of that ship. The lower floor, think of it as like a basement, all right? The ceiling, there's a ceiling on top, and the base is the actual bottom of the ship. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, two groups. One goes up, one goes down. He says, the people on the top level, they can easily get water. Get a bucket, throw in the ocean, get the water. Easy. The ones in the lower deck, right, in the lower floor, if they want water, some of them said to each other, let's not disturb the people on the top. Let's just drill a hole in the bottom. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look what he says. If the people at the top who have access to water, things are doing well, they're educated, whatever the case is, if they do not stop those in that basement, in that lower floor, and they do drill a hole, all of them will drown. All of us will drown. If you keep the goodness and your knowledge just to yourself, wallahi la isa hunaka falah. There's no success in any of us. And I'll share with you this hadith, which is quite terrifying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. It's not usually that he says that very frequently. He says, I swear by the one who my soul is in his hands. لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوْنَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ. You guys need to correct people with respect and wisdom and knowledge and tell them what's right and what's wrong. Then he says, أَوْ لَيُوشِكَنَّ. If you choose to keep everything to yourself, you see the wrong, you can do something about it. You can change it with your hands. If you cannot, then with your speech, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that with respect. And if you cannot do it with your hand and you cannot change it verbally, then at least reject it with your heart. Then the Prophet says, أَوْ لَيُوشِكَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُنزِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا. Or Allah will send a punishment. Who is he talking to? Sahaba. If you don't do that, Allah will send a punishment on you guys. And you will make dua, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, وَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. And Allah will never accept your dua. Don't be selfish. Like, I'm not being selfish. No, when you see someone doing wrong and you're able to adjust, go for it. We miss many times. But go within your lane. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Ya Rabbi, I'm saying, I mean. But there's a lot of ways to help out. A lot of ways to do your da'wah and the correction. Because people think I have to say it. I have to speak it. No. Clearly said with the hand, speech, with the heart. So, for example, today's session. Perfect example. All right? I'm calling to good and forbidding evil, right? In a general sense. Sah, is that right? Or am I not? Now you think, is it me just speaking? Am I the one involved here? Absolutely not. Someone had to help spread the goodness by giving me a clicker. Sah? Someone had to help put the mic. Mother Allah came and adjusted the mic for me. Someone had to actually call the civic center or the new name of it, forgive us, right? And call to reserve the venue. Someone actually had to come and do what? And pay for it, right? And without Allah, then all of you, I promise you, we would have never had this session. So you'd have to be proud of your accomplishment and know that it's Allah who grants you that success. Say alhamdulillah. So we all play a role in that. If the least that you can do for the sake of Allah is attend, this goes a long way. A lot of people attending is a lot of power. And I'll show you that very quickly, inshallah. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My success is in the hands of Allah. Now when he says that, he gets accused. قَالُوا إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُسَحَّرِينَ. You're possessed. You're bewitched. There's sihr amongst you. You're crazy. You're majnoon. And then they said, وَمَا أَنْتَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلُنَا وَإِنَّ ظُنُّكَ لَمِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The one who is clearly speaking, a prophet of Allah, now is bewitched. Remember what they do? Remember what I told you earlier? They change the truthful to a liar, and the liar to a truthful. So the one who is the wisest becomes bewitched, and the one who is the most truthful becomes a liar. May Allah protect us and keep us strong. Say ameen. Then when they said that to him, look what Allah says afterwards. Shu'aib replies. How would you reply if someone says something like that to you? Ana majnoon. Inta majnoon. Or 60 majnoon. Right? Right? I'm a crazy man? No, you're crazy. I remember this one time on Facebook, there was a sheikh that posted a video on whether brushing your teeth breaks your fast in Ramadan or not. What do you guys think? Does it break your fast? Please brush your teeth. All right. Let's make sure you don't swallow. All right. So then when the sheikh posted this video, there's a person. I actually have the exact text. I took a copy of it. So a person replied under the video and said, you're talking on whether toothpaste breaks people's fast or not when there's people dying out of hunger? That's your biggest problem, to say whether toothpaste in Ramadan breaks your fast? There's bigger problems in the community to address. But why do you speak like that for? And what's sad is the next comment. The next comment was a reply to that person. Now look what that person did. When they replied back, it says, you brainless twit. I don't know what that means, okay? That's what they said, okay? I know it's not like haram, haram, haram. Like maybe it's a little bit, right? May Allah make it easy. So you brainless twit. You're thinking about the poor people and so on when you're eating your crab salad. Crab salad? How did they know? So I actually went and I clicked on that person's profile and they were having crab salad. Right? I'm like, man, this is like some serious keyboard warriors. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, right? But then you have a sister, her name is Yusuf, right? And then she had a nice paragraph. Allah. She said, you know what? Yes, there are poor people that are struggling. And we should do our best to help out. And this sheikh is helping us regarding Ramadan and how to fast appropriately, because when we fast right, we feel more genuine towards poor people and we support them. Look at the love. Yusuf, may Allah grant her Jannah. See what I mean? And that's it. So see the difference? How will you react to that? Because one sister, she gave me advice when we did the review session. It was wonderful. I did not say it last session. Allah willed that I say it today. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Remember that. Success is in the hands of Allah. You can have all the means in the world, but you still fail. And some of you are actually an evidence to that. You may have less means than your cousin, but you are far ahead in life than them. Because what they're missing, though they have everything, is they don't have tawfiq, but you have it. You being here is one of the greatest signs in your life that Allah gives you tawfiq. Not literally this session in the Civic Center. The fact that you attend a gathering where Allah is being honored, Allah is being praised, and Rasulullah is being mentioned. So rejoice for that. That's the real tawfiq. Are you guys with me? So may Allah grant us tawfiq forever and ever. Say ameen. So what did that sister tell me? She said when someone starts to argue like, you know, I said that you're a magician, you're possessed, you're this and that, usually this means that that person lost the conversation, correct? The moment you resort to insult, that means you have no more base to stand on, you lost it. So she said, I'm concerned that Muslims may do that. Because Muslims do have a very strong base in any discussion, anything about theology. But some of us as Muslims, when we get so angry and we start to curse and insult, we show the other person, who is a non-Muslim or so, that we have no ground to stand on, so we resorted to insults. You see what she said? Very wise. So don't ruin the image of Islam with your behavior. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look what he says, لَإِنَّ سُوءَ الْخُلُقُ bad akhlaq, bad character, ruins the deed the way vinegar ruins the honey. What does that mean? Let me explain that. You may be doing a great job. Who did I choose as an example? Let's say someone who set up this stage, all right? So let's say someone says, okay, get the thing here, get the podium, all right, bismillah. The guy miskeen has, you know, a bulge disc, and all the issues, and he's like, he's helping out, may Allah grant him Jannah. All right, he's moving this, but it didn't happen today, it's just an example. So while he's helping, someone else is helping him out, he's like, come on, bro, what's wrong with you, bro? You're so weak. You're doing a great job, but the way you're doing it is evil, so you won't get rewarded for what you're doing. And it's so sad you left your family, you're volunteering in the masjid, or at this place, or the civic center, or whatever the case is, but that reward all goes to waste because of your attitude doing it. All right, so he says, وَيَقُمِ لَا يَجْرِمَنِّكُمْ شِقَاقِي. Don't let the hatred you have towards me. Why? Because they said you're just a human being. So clearly there's some sense of jealousy and envy. By the way, did prophets answer this question? Because many prophets, they are told, you're just a human being. You're just a human being. Did the prophets ever address this? What do you guys think? It's actually in chapter 14, verse 11, and I wasn't really aware of it until I actually prepared this session. The prophets respond to the question because people keep saying, you're just a human being. There's nothing special about you. They say, إِن نَحْنُ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. You are right. Shu'aib, Nuh, Muhammad, we're all human beings just like you. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَمُنُّ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Allah chose me. I have nothing to do with it. So next time maybe we see someone that we might be jealous of or shaitan whispers to you, realize that much of the skills that we have, to the extent, is literally given by Allah جل جلاله. correct? Like now that you're, mashallah, tabarakallah, this height, you worked, how did you work hard on it? How? Like, I drank milk. You drank all milk all in your life. You'll be 6'7", right? Allahu alam, maybe, I don't know, right? But there's certain things, many of our blessings that we have, it did not involve hard work from you. Especially what doesn't make sense is when we're, by showing off in general is wrong, especially when we show off over things that we have nothing to do with. So be as humble as you possibly can. May Allah protect us. So he says to the people that say, "You're just a human, I am just a human being, but it's Allah who chose this for me." Just like how some of you are born into rich families. You have nothing to do with it. Wallah, I promise. Like you didn't do business deals in alam al-arwah, the world of the souls. Then you came back to this dunya, like how was it, the business, that? You had nothing to do with it. And oh, you who was born in a poor family, you also have nothing to do with it. So just accept where Allah has placed you and believe you have the enough capacity to succeed in life. And ultimately, the afterlife, may Allah grant us success. Say ameen. Because remember, the one who was born into a rich family may lose everything. Just like the example of the passport, right? There's some people here that had the American passport by birth, correct? But there are people here sitting right now, they had their American passport but through the naturalization process. So you may be born at a very difficult circumstances, but inshallah you'll be able to grow out of it and reach that level. Not just that, the one who is quote unquote the example, born with the passport, it doesn't mean that you can always have it, correct? It can be taken away from you, is that right? So don't let your beginning become an obstacle and make you disbelieve that you can grow further, because there's no beginning to an extent more difficult than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had no father, no mother, much of his life. His dad died before he was even born. And what happened after that? He became the greatest man ever walked on earth. So may Allah grant us success. Say ameen. Because remember, success is in the hands of Allah. So after he says this, look what he says at the end here. وَاسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Ask Allah's forgiveness and repent to Allah. إِنَّ رَبِّي رَحِيمٌ وَدُودٌ. This is ayah. Should bring everyone here so much hope and perhaps even go back to it throughout your life. Shu'aib is telling people that worship trees, people that are making fun of prophets, people who saw and or heard what happened to other prophet people, that punishment, people who have all that crime in their record, so much disgusting stuff they've done, and he still tells them, you got room to change. Allah can still give you a shot at this. Wallahi, not even in dunya's courts, they may give you a chance, yes or no? This is who you deal with, Allah Rahman Ar-Rahim. And this is probably the only time in the Quran you see this, by the way. Inna Rabbi Rahimun Wadud. Though, out of all the people we spoke about, Salih and who? Hud, they were not perhaps as bad in the way it was mentioned in the Quran. And they got less punishment, by the way, than people of Shu'aib, as you will see. Yet, as bad as they were, as nice as Allah was offering His Rahmah. Incredible. Rahimun Wadud. Allah tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's one hadith I can mention about tawbah, one hadith, just one. On a personal level, it's my favorite hadith on tawbah. This is just personal, but this is something Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. He says, let me tell you how happy Allah is when you apologize to Him. Let me tell you how happy Allah becomes when you ask for His forgiveness. It's like a man who's traveling in a desert, all alone, and on that camel, and has all his stuff, the water, the food, the luggage, everything is on that camel. Then he goes and he takes quite some rest. So he goes and takes a little bit of a rest. So he sees a tree, goes under the shade, and he sits. And when he sits, what happens? When he sits, what happens? He falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when he opens up his eyes, he sees the camel is no longer there. He panics. I'm in the desert. Where am I going to go? So the hadith says, Ya'ti jiha. He goes, travels one distance so far away, he can't even see the camel. That's how far the camel went. That's how far the camel has gone. That's how far my resources are at. He goes one direction under the heat of Arabia or whatever the actual case may be. So eventually he doesn't see it there. Then he goes the other direction. He goes. He doesn't see the camel. Then he goes a third direction. And he doesn't see the camel. Then what happens next? He says to himself, let me go back to the tree and wait for death to come to me. That's how hopeless he became. So the Prophet says, he went and then فَنَامَ عَلَى سَاعِدَيْهِ. He was sleeping on his hands, and then he actually dozed off. Then he eventually woke up, and when he opened his eyes, what did he see? The camels were right there. What? فَمَسَكَ بِخِطَامِ النَّاقَةِ. He grabbed the reins of the camel. And he says, oh Allah, you are my slave, and I'm your Lord. I did not make a mistake. The Prophet says, أَخْطَأَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْفَرْحِ. He made a mistake for how happy he was. The Prophet says, Allah is happier than that man when you ask for his forgiveness. That's how happy Allah becomes. Something that you can't even do, like he doesn't comprehend. Like, what do you mean? He said, you are my slave. He's so happy. Allah is happier than that man. So don't lose hope in Allah, who is Rahim Wadud to people that worship trees. What would he do to people that say, La ilaha illallah? Don't give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we reach the end, they say, Ya Shu'aibu ma nafqahu kathira mimma taqul, because he put him in such a situation, so much hope, so much love, so much fear, so much warning, so much good news, everything. There's a whole package. And every prophet comes with a miracle. But the thing about Prophet Shu'aib, Allah says in the Quran that I came with a miracle. But something interesting, mysterious about his story. You know what is it? Though Allah says Shu'aib had a miracle, but what's the mysterious part about it? That Allah doesn't tell us what is it. But it's enough for you to know. And what does it mean when Allah sends a miracle? It means anyone who sees the miracle knows for a fact that you're saying the truth. Are you guys with me? So for them to say, we do not comprehend much of what you say, that's what many people say when they actually comprehend everything that you've said. So may Allah make it easy for us. I don't know what you're saying, bro. Just anyways, let's move on. May Allah not make us escape the truth. So when you are corrected, address it and try to comprehend it. Don't be like these people. And look what they say. Now there's two levels. Listen. Bas, enough. If you do not go back to our faith, we will kick you out of this place. Exile. Barra. You and everyone that believes with you. We will kick you out. لَنُخْرِجَنَّكَ يَا شُعَيْبَ. And those who believed in you, or you go back to our faith. By the way, going back doesn't mean that Shu'aib was not a Muslim. But the majority of the people that believed in him were actually not Muslim. But then now they became Muslim. So they threatened to exile him. We will deport you. We'll send you back home. Whatever the case is. Then he says, قَالَ أَوَلَوْ كُنَّا كَارِهِينَ. Now you're really shoving down our throats your beliefs? Like I can't just live with you and just pray to Allah and carry on a regular human-to-human conversation. Now you're forcing me to accept what you believe. Just like in how some corporations today, may Allah make it easy for us, they shove it down our throats to put on our lock screen at work things that happen that's special about March and June, and let's move on. قَالَ أَوَلَوْ كُنَّا كَارِهِينَ قَدْ افْتَرَيْنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا إِنْ عُدْنَا. Shu'aib says, we will be the worst of people. What? Listen. Shu'aib says, myself and the believers, we will be worse than you if we go back to worshipping the tree. Why? Because those who know the truth and don't do it are a lot worse than those that never know about it. You see what I'm saying? Many of us here don't take it as a burden, take it as an opportunity to grow. Many of us here, we know more than many other people outside, correct? Obviously, there's outside people that know more than you. So whatever has been said with you tonight and through the sessions that you take, khutab jum'ah you attend, will have one of two effects. There's no third. Whatever you learn will either be an excuse for you to become a better person, an excuse for you to go to Jannah, or an excuse against you to go to hellfire. Like, I wish I never signed up. Don't be like that person who was asking about music, is it halal, is it haram? And someone says, actually, I told the person, listen to this lecture about music. Okay, and then inshallah you'll make up your mind after that. So he's like, bro, I think I know where this is going. You know what they told me? I don't want to listen to it. Why? Because if I listen to it and I continue listening to music, that's a lot more haram. If this guy who was not really practicing knew that, right? May Allah guide him, say ameen. So he says, قَدْ افْتَرَيْنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا إِنْ عُدْنَا فِي مِلَّتِكُمْ. We will be the worst people ever. وَمَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَعُودَ فِيهَا. Look, wallahi, this is one of the most beautiful ayat about steadfastness. He says, we will never go back. What does it say here? Read it. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّنَا. Unless Allah wills otherwise. If Shu'aib was not confident enough to say, I'm going to heaven, what about you and I? Shu'aib said, we will never allow ourselves to go back to deviant ways unless Allah wills otherwise. So your whole life, you should be between hope and fear on how your life will come to an end. The only time you're 100% hopeful, 100% you're going to Jannah, you know when? When? When the angel of death comes to you and says, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, oh, you beautiful soul, come back to your Lord. Then you're confident you're going to Jannah, inshallah. Fair enough? May Allah allow you all to hear that. Say ameen. Then the threat of death, and this was the ending. They told him, listen, لَنَرَاكَ فِينَا ضَعِفَ, you're a nobody. And if it wasn't for Rahtuk, the small group that you have, لَرَجَمْنَاكَ, we would have killed you. So we're waiting for the last moment possible to kill you. So they went as far as exiling the people and now killing Shu'aib alayhi salam. And I want you to realize something. This is a very powerful gem we learned from our teachers. Some people are not dead yet. You know why? Because the ones that want to kill you cannot get away with it. That's the only reason. There's so many people that want to rob you, so many people that want to destroy you, so many people want to take you down tonight before tomorrow. But the only reason you're still here is because they're scared to be caught. So may Allah protect us from them. Say ameen. So they said, if it wasn't for your people, you know, I said, even if you attend, there's strength in numbers. Clearly in Shu'aib's story, the aspect of his followers played a role for him to be respected. So there is strength in that. May Allah grant us quantity and quality. Say ameen. So now when they threaten to kill him, what do you guys think? Isn't that the end? At this point, he says the following. You guys are scared about my followers and you're not scared of Allah. You're scared to be exposed by that person and a surveillance camera recording you, but you're not terrified that everything that you've done was documented in your book. You're worried about people over worrying about Allah Jalla Jalaluh. Then he says, stay, wait. You will see what will happen to you and what will happen to me. You see the tone changes? He was very gentle, Rahim, Wadud, everything. Not anymore. Things change. It's firmness mode. Then eventually, they do a foolish challenge with him. Okay, really? You know what? Then send us a punishment from the heavens. Cause deadly pieces of the sky to fall upon us if what you say is true. Oh, we're wrong. You'll see what will happen to you. Okay, show me. Now, these losers, they could have said the opposite, which is still wrong. If you're truthful, make it rain gold and silver. But when some people are so jealous and envious, they become irrational. It's like the guy who sees his neighbor buying a new car, and then the guy who bought a new car says, hey, try the car. He's like, I got a new car. Okay, how are you getting this money, this guy? Oh, a nice car. Hey, you want to, you know, ride with me. Check out the car, how it drives. Sure, I'll get in the car. And the guy's so jealous. How did he get the car? So he sits in the car, that jealous person, and the guy's like, how do you like it? It's good. Ya Rab, make the car flip, Ya Rab. You're in the car. You're in the car with him. So these people are so jealous, they tell him, if you're right, let God kill us. If you're right, let Allah honor us. Let Allah rain it gold and silver. No rationality with envy, because they lost the plot. They said, send upon us the punishment. It's Allah who sends it. Look what he says. قَالَ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Shu'aib says, it's not me who sends it. It's Allah. And Allah will send what you deserve. It's not up to me. Not the judge here. Allah is the judge. Then they say, وَقَالَ مَا الَّذِينَ كَفْرُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ So they now shift from Shu'aib to the people. They tell the people of Shu'aib, they gave up on Shu'aib. And that's the importance of having a leader that doesn't give up, even if a sword is on his neck. May Allah make you all like that. Say, I mean. May Allah never make us bend to no one but Allah. Say ameen. So they saw Shu'aib is not breaking. We threatened to kill him, exile him. He didn't fall for it. So they went after the believers. لَإِنْ اتَّبَعْتُمْ شُعَيْبَ If you follow Shu'aib, you'll be losers. At this point, you don't touch my people. So here, Shu'aib makes the final dua. He says the dua, and this dua, everyone here, whoever tried to get their rights back, you went to court, got a lawyer, you went through the manager, HR, human resources, because of some harassment at work. You tried everything, and it got locked. It was a dead end. You didn't get your right. There was no solution. Then I want to introduce you to this dua. This dua, you say, رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ Ya Allah, every door is locked. I tried everything. Ya Fattah, O unlocker of locks, unlock this case. and show the truth and expose it. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ And you're the best of those who judge. Indeed, as they came to that dead end, Allah unlocked everything. And here, the three punishments. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shares the story with his sahaba. And here, in books of tafsir say, the weather was so hot. So then, even the homes was not comfortable. So they went and they saw a cloud to protect them from the sun. When they went under the cloud, such a strange cloud, like, perfect, this actually gave us some shade. Punishment one out of three. Under the cloud, all of a sudden, like a machine gun, punishment comes, every single one. Punishment, whether rocks or pain and so on. Remember what they said? Send us a punishment from the heavens. Here you go. Here you go. And the punishment comes and strikes every one of them. So what do? They run back to their homes. As they run back to their homes, what happens? A loud blast, a screeching noise. Sayha so loud. Because they try to shut Shu'aib up, Allah shut them down. Every punishment was related to the sin they committed. You know what? A loud noise. So how do you understand now? Because they claim they never understood him, right? Can he now speak to the other? And the third but not least, last but not least, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ As they ran, then the earthquake took place and entire houses, places, humans collapsed on the ground, جَاثِمِينَ lifeless in their homes. Wow, that was pretty quick. That's how quick it was. They were all gone. Allah says, كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا Allah says, as if they never existed. Allah says that punishment was so severe that they don't remember a single second of joy in their lives. So remember, when it comes to the sin, focus on the pain and forget the pleasure. When it comes to the good deed, focus on the pleasure and forget the pain. Because the most miserable human being on earth, as in a difficult life, when they are dipped in Jannah for one dip, do you guys ever went to Dairy Queen and saw how they do the ice cream? The chocolate ice cream, you know how they do it? Such a scam, man. I'm just, right? You think it's a chocolate ice cream, but it was just a layer of chocolate. For those that know a little bit about Dairy Queen, may Allah protect us. They get a vanilla ice cream, and they dip it into like a chocolate syrup. Just one dip, and they take it out. And one dip really quick. And then you have that chocolate around. And like, where's the vanilla? It's gone. Allah is the best of examples. He teaches us that the one that had the most difficult life on earth, not this year, on earth, they'll be dipped in Jannah once, taken off. Then that person will be asked, have you ever seen any difficulty in life? It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. One split of a second in Jannah made them forget every pain they experienced. But the hadith continues. An an'am ahl al-ard, the richest living being that ever walked on earth. That almost, well, not exactly. He says, be and almost becomes in the sense of commands everyone. But only Allah can do that. He had everything under his hands. Never seen a difficult day perhaps in his life. They will be dipped where? In hell. Dipping out. Have you seen any blessings in life? I don't know what you're talking about. So it's not worth it. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, Shu'aib, final words. He walks away, he sees that. And by the way, this ayah brought me so much comfort on a personal level. Maybe it'll bring you comfort. فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ He walked away saying, Oh my people, indeed I have delivered to you the message of my Lord and gave you sincere advice. Check this out. How can I grieve for those who chose disbelief? How can I feel sad for you when you chose darkness over light? When I spent all the time and the money to make you a better person and you chose something different, you chose that. How can I feel sorry for you? But obviously this was at the end of their lives. May Allah grant us Jannah. Brothers and sisters, thank you very, very much. Jazakumullah khair.